Welcome to Aura Talks.
It's very important to not chase after money and make money chase you, in a sense, you know, like make it come to you. Not you don't have to go like running around for it, you know, and like spending half of your life, and then you get a pension and you're like, oh, now I can relax, and now your back is bent, and then you're just kind of like that, you know, all your life. And also, like, what I wanted to say to the old point about like the traveling and getting that a materialistic experience and all that, I'm very lucky because I can travel a lot due to like this this job that I got, and also my parents have put it as a really big priority, and each time I come back to Oroville, I'm like, I fall in love with it again, and I'm like, I'm so happy. Like a week ago, I just went for 5 days to the mountains, and I was actually missing Oroville in 5 days. I want to go back. I want to meet. I want to know everyone I see on the road. I want to be with my friends all the time. I want to like have the freedom that I have, and be like, if I want to go here, I can go. I can take my bike and drive here and drive there. You know, like I think that's something super nice. And honestly, I think it should be compulsory every 5 years to take a little air from the Oroville bubble and visit somewhere else for all the residents, and then to come back. And they can be like, whoa, Orville's so cool. Some people have been here for 40 years and haven't left, you know, and they're stuck in their little,
bubble. That's not a bad revelation. Yeah, to like kind of pop that bubble once in a while so that like you can, have a different perspective. And I agree with you guys. Honestly, there is something so, one thing about what Aiden said again was about the whole chasing after money versus letting money come to you, or you manifesting a vision that allows you to have income flows. I hope, like in my lifetime, in our lifetime, we're going to create a society where people are not suffering to make money, where they're like sacrificing really a lot of their time and a lot of even their values to make money, right? But that we're going to create a society where you get rewarded for being creative, for finding creativity to like finding creative ways to engage with the community, to give back. That's what we want, right? And I think Oroville in that regard specifically is really years ahead in comparison to a lot of different parts of the world. And for that reason alone, like whenever you come back to Oroville, you just realize like, wow, what a special place it really is, you know? I want to ask you guys now.
I think that would really come into place, like in the, like in Oroville, we don't have a universal basic income, but I think the maintenance is like the closest thing that we would have to that. And due to everyone earning the same amount of money. And I think the moment that the world will install a universal basic income, that is such a possibility, and people don't have to work anymore just to be alive and to have a roof over their head, to have a bit of warming, and to have food. And they can actually, like, society would grow so much more if people would put their time into creative thoughts, expressing their emotions. It would be so much richer, and just overall the people would be greater, you know, and more radiant, I would say.
I agree, guys. So I'm like I'm so grateful to have these conversations, especially with the younger generations, because I honestly believe like everything I do from this point on out is going to have the rule of thumb. Okay, whatever I'm contributing, is it creating a better world for the generations to come? And for me, like I've been reading a lot of biographies from like world leaders, and also I've been reading a lot about feminism. So it's really startling, Jasmine, to think that women, let's say a few decades ago, did not have some fundamental rights, even in modern parts of the world. And that today we have the right to like pursue education, the right to vote, and the right to have some kind of equal wages in the workplace. So these are things that I personally took for granted for the most of my adult life. But now that I'm reading more and really seeing how much effort went into creating a more just world, I also want to take on that approach. Because if I take those this type of progress for granted, and I don't feel the drive within myself to create a better world for the upcoming generations, progress is not going to happen. And this is not only for feminism, this is also for creating a better economy, you know? So it's not about anything to do with gender or race per se, but just really creating a society that helps people to tap into their most utmost potential. Yeah. So one question I want to ask you guys is, okay, so Oroville, there is this criticism that we hear a lot that it is really dependent on the tourist sector, right? That like without tourists, like the influx of tourists coming in and providing a lot of income for different commercial units, Oroville's economy would not self-sustain itself. So what are some thoughts to mind when you think about like Oroville as a community being a more self-sustainant or self-generating community and economy? Aiden?
Well, first of all, I think what would be important. I think, am I there or not?
You're there. You're there. You're good.
Okay. So I think it would be very important to shift like the normal tourists that we have now. That's like, oh, I want to come and see the Machu Mandir and do this and do that, and to switch it to something like I'm a student and I'm coming here to learn and to see a new way of life and. Like really like make that shift. And actually Shurabinda was talking about it, that we shouldn't have tourists, we should just have people who want to learn, like students. You come here as a student.
Yeah, that's actually a really good way to think about it, just to like not see people as like just people who like come into an amusement park, oh, so many cool architectures, Golden Ferrero Rocher, bye, I'm leaving tomorrow, but rather attract a group of people that could also, even if it's like a short-term basis, they come for 1 or 2 weeks, but they can give some really interesting lectures or certain interesting workshops. I personally hope that we can move, so to speak, tourism into much more of a co-learning, co-exploration space, you know? So. Yeah. What are your thoughts, Jasmine and Mir, on this? Just in terms of like Oroville becoming, generating more income, or like just being more like financially independent from like external help and external sources?
Coming back to permaculture, I think, like you're saying, we're too independent and we need to shift and become more active in other places. I think a lot of Orvillians aren't very efficient in what they do. They sort of just live life. While that's fine, efficiency is also a form of income that I truly believe in.
What I took from what you just said is sometimes in Oroville we have Orovillians that have been there for like a few decades, right? And they're so good at what they do, but they are not very open for new technologies or new modes of learning. So in that sense, like, why aren't you accepting towards things that could lead to more efficiency? And efficiency by definition will always lead to more income or more sources of income, at least, you know. So I think like what you're getting from, like, I got you, Mir.
Thanks.
So what do you think, Jasmine, about this topic?
I mean, I feel like in the end it sort of comes down to like self-sustainability and how we are so dependent on like external factors. I mean, even when it just comes down to food, we are to an extent, but we really can't sustain ourselves. Yeah. But I think it's not, I think that's where the like the whole idea of the aura and like distributing things within the community comes into play, because I don't think people even realize how much there is, like during this during the quarantine, because I live in a forest, we realized, like, because we had cashew season just happen, so we had cashews and papayas, for example, and my dad is the steward of another forest and he had tamarinds. So, like, we could give cashews and he could give tamarinds. And I think people don't, like, I don't know. I think it's just utilizing what's already here.
Yeah.
Like, for sure, we need to farm more and we need to, like, produce more. But I think, yeah, it just, people become blind to what's around them and we take for granted, like the amazing resources that we already have.
Yeah. I agree. I had the same conversation with B, who's like, Eden, you wanted to say? I was like, yes, B.
I think at least from my understanding, that we're 30% self-sustainable with food-wise and stuff. But one thing that I would for sure say that would bump up the Oroville economy would be like that people spend money in Oroville, and also like to have a shift in consciousness and in how we shop and what do we cook. you know, like really like try to eat local and try to eat what's from the Oroville farms and try to support our neighbors who are already putting this effort into grow, like growing Oroville brinjals, but then people buy them that they come from Ooty, you know? It's like, okay, maybe you have to step out a bit out of your comfort zone, but you'll just get used to it later, you know what I mean? Like, I can see very much in Kailash, like, we do have so many tendencies of, like, buying products that are really not from here. Mm-hmm. And anytime that, like, sometimes they're free products in PTDC because there's an abundance of them, and they can't sell them. And, like, I'm like, yo, guys, like, free beans, let's make something with beans, you know? And everyone's like, nah, let's make pasta, mate. I'm like, come on. We've eaten pasta 4 times this week.
Yeah. I think that's a bit where the danger of globalization comes, right? So let's say Oroville is a very globalized society or community because it is very international. And what comes with globalization is the exposure to like different types of food, different types of ways. So it's hard for you in that globalized, very high exposure setting to like give up certain things like pasta because you're like, oh, so many Italians in the community and we're not gonna give up pasta. We don't want to eat all these like locally grown produce or fruits, you know? So again, getting back to the conversation with B, he said that back in his days, you know,
or if we want to eat pasta, would say if we want to eat pasta, we should get it from Antonello, who's an Italian guy who's making pasta in Oroville, not by a brand that comes from Italy.
Or you know, even the Tanto pasta, like any.
Or Tanto, like support the local people. You know, like put some awareness into what we buy and like. Thing, the maintenance is gonna increase the more money we spend in Oroville because the more it circulates in here. Yeah. Obviously, the maintenance are so low because everything we gain inside just goes straight out, like to petrol and to this and to Nilgiris, like people who shop in Nilgiris, you know?
Exactly. No, I really, this is like a really important topic that's kind of deviating from the main topic, but I wanna take a moment to explain one thing, which is, so I've been working on just understanding how to improve an economy on all different levels, right? And a lot of the times, if you go to school and you're learning economics, they talk more about, how do you say, macroeconomics, which is more zoomed out on a society level, how do you improve economics? And the most effective solution in modern day society is to create a progressive taxation. So the more you earn, the heavier your tax, and that pool of tax then goes back to the lower income. And in like countries like Germany or a lot of like Northern European countries, it's quite an effective system compared to, let's say, a very individualistic society like America, where we don't have that kind of progressive taxation. So it's important that on a societal level, on a, like a national level, we have certain measures in place to make sure somebody cannot like tap into their greed and get rewarded for that, right? So I think that's important. But one thing that I've never been taught, really, from like starting from an early age, is from a local level, how do we improve our economy? Because when we're studying economics, we never study local economics. The fact that like buying produce or buying product within that community promotes that economy so much. So this is one part of, I hope, like Oroville education, we can incorporate that a bit more. Because what a big difference it makes when you buy pasta, not from Nilgiris, but from like Tanto or any other locally sourced pasta, right? So that's something that I really hope that our generation, we can promote and really tap into. Like, do we really need blueberries and strawberries when in fact that's not something naturally that we can grow in Oroville? I think, so we need to kind of, and that, like Aiden said, requires stepping out of the comfort zone, you know?
Yeah.
Like we're not, yes, Jasmine.
I feel like even it's just the little things, like for example, shopping in PTDC, the fact that they have the label saying what is grown in Oroville and what isn't, in comparisons to like PTPS where you don't know what's from here or not.
Yeah.
I think that really helps because me, I am drawn to the Ooty brinjals. And like, I wouldn't think twice about the Oroville ones because they look way worse. But because they have the label there, it makes you think twice and it makes you buy them more often. So I think just little things like we don't realize, but they're so effective.
Yes, and a lot of like human behavior is shaped by cues. So when we have the right cues, like Jasmine said about like the labels, like this is like from Oroville, I think it will ultimately lead to different consumption patterns, you know? So I completely agree with you, Jasmine. So the next topic of conversation is one of my favorites is digitalization, guys. So for those of you who don't know, I've been working in more of the tech sphere for the past like 4 to 5 years of my life. So I've been in like different projects trying to incorporate technology to improving life, to achieving efficiency, whatnot. And what's so interesting about the current times that we're in is that amidst COVID-19, what we're seeing is that there is a pulling of like the future near us, because we're like having to adopt so many online solutions, right? So for example, in my current university, every lecture is being done online, and it's a big university with a population of 50,000 people. So to create a environment for like students to have like provide thousands of like online courses, but not only online courses, online examinations. So just to get into the nitty-gritty, when you're dealing with online examinations, you have to prevent cheating or any type of a dishonest activity. So you need to have something called proctoring, which means you keep your webcam on, you keep your mic on, so like someone can kind of monitor what you're doing during this examination period. So it gets really nitty-gritty, you know. And on the organizational level, companies and a lot of different startups, they have to have like work online meetings. They don't have face-to-face meetings just due to the like restrictions right now. So what I'm seeing is that like the reason why I mentioned the polling, like the future earlier, is because COVID-19 has ultimately, at least in the realm of digitalization, done that, or at least this part of the world. So I wanted to ask you guys this question. Getting back to our earlier conversation, we see that in Oroville, we have so much intimacy, right? Like we really cherish face-to-face interactions. So do you think that like digitalization has that tendency to create some sort of like alienation and distancing in the physical realm? And is that a thought that you guys have, having grown up in such an intimate environment like Oroville?
I feel like it definitely does alienate to an extent. I mean, just like speaking as like a person who's really like technologically wise disabled, like I'm really bad. Like I can just about manage like the basics on my phone, which is like rare for my generation, but like, yeah. So it's like all very alien to me. And I do feel like it's getting more and more accessible and easy. Like, already now, I mean, Zoom, it's like super basic and super easy, but it does kind of detach people more and more, because there's this like false feeling that we're connected. And to an extent, yes, we are more, but then we neglect the like face-to-face connections, because we're like, oh, we just had a video call with the person a day ago. It's okay. We don't need to go meet up. Yeah. So as long as it doesn't become a justification for like alienation, it's great and it's like positive, but then yeah, it definitely does take away sometimes, or like in my case, it alienates me further because I can't communicate with it.
Yeah, wow. Yes, Aiden?
For me, like I work at the cafe and I'm very like familiar with all the people who come there. And normally when they come, I go and give them a hug, you know, like I'm a very, in my culture, it's like super, super normal, and like two kisses sometimes even. And now it's like, because I'm working there, I can't do that. Like, I can't give a bro fist, like, I can't give a high five, I can't, like, give a shoulder nod, you know, like, I have to keep that distance. And for me, personally, that's very hard. I'm, like, I'm always giving hugs and, like, just a touchy person in general. So, for me, like, not even, like, just seeing the person, like, actual physical contact is important, you know?
How about you, Mir? What are your thoughts on, like, digitalization leading to some sort of distancing in the physical realm?
I have two sides. I personally see myself and observe from my personal observation. I've observed that I'm more outspoken when talking to people in person. It gives me a different feeling. I feel closer to the person and I can express myself better. Right now, I feel a bit awkward sometimes. Mm. But I also, from time to time, catch myself being lazy because of how electronics allows you to be lazy. Like, my mom wanted to talk to me the other day. I was in my room. I was staying at my mom's house. I was in my room at my mom's house. And she was in the living room. She called me. And I just message her, just text me what you want to say. And then in that moment itself, I realize I'm being completely unreasonable.
Well, no, that's a really good example. Like even my flatmates, we don't have such a big apartment here, guys. And sometimes they're like, do you want to have dinner? I was like, why won't you take literally 10 seconds of a walk, to my room to ask me that. So this is something that I also do see as an issue with technology, especially communication technologies, that like it makes us super lazy and complicit, like Mir said. But that's again like why I'm hoping with the Aura platform, we're really giving a lot of thought in the ideation and design process that, okay, how do we create an app that gives easy access to like people, easy access to goods and services in general, but while encouraging face-to-face interactions? And that's the type of thought that we haven't yet seen in technology. Because you guys, you have to remember that digitalization, or let's say the app culture that we're seeing with smart devices, it's a very recent phenomenon. It's like the past decade. This has not been around for two decades. It's like the past 10 years. So there hasn't been a lot of conscious thought or ethical thought given to how we can design an app that doesn't like alienate people. As long as it's convenient and comfortable, people are happy with that app, because that's what apps are supposed to do. It's giving you easy access, it saves you time, it saves you money. But no one, at least in the with the groups of people I've worked with, ever brought up the question like, guys, okay, this app is really great. It's obviously good for a reason, but is it like taking people away from each other, you know? So this is a like consciousness that we're really trying to like integrate into this project. So the question I want to ask all of you guys now is, you see, we're creating a mobile native app, which means that it's a, like an application like that you can download on the App Store or on the Play Store on your mobile phone. So it's not like a web browser that you have to go and type out like a link to an website, but an actual app, right? So what for me is so interesting is that in Auraville, we don't have any native mobile apps for any of the activities in Auraville, even for payment, for example. Like if you...
Sorry, can you repeat? You cut off for a second.
Okay, sure. So, Mir, what I was saying was that we haven't seen in Auraville any sort of a mobile native app that facilitates certain types of activities, which for me is super alarming, because when it comes to, for example, payment, most people, we don't even have the excuse anymore that people don't have smartphones, because a lot of people have smartphones now, and it's ubiquitous. So it's coming to a point where do we really need all this physical currency, and do we really need these blue sheets? Sorry, I get aggressive when I...
Actually, like, in the cafe that I work, we don't have a blue sheet anymore, and we don't take cash anymore. Like, everything's really online and credit card payments. But yeah, I completely agree with what you were saying about that. Like, why don't we have, like, a Google Pay, like, Auraville Pay, like, just scan a code and that's linked to your account. Like, this, like, Auraville, plus, every time Auraville gets bigger, like, the people... You know, you might not know someone, they hear that your account number, and they might just kind of use it someday to get a pizza safer. Or something.
Exactly. You were saying, Mir?
It would be much safer. Like,
of course. Yeah.
A while ago, some money just went missing off my account, and I was like, how? Not so much. Also on Kailash's account, and we're all like, we had no way of knowing who took it or by mistake took it. And just having the quick online thing on your mobile phone, you have your account ready. There's no possible way of a mishap happening.
Yeah. So exactly. So this is why like working on a project like this, it made me like, it kind of shone light on certain areas of Auraville that seemed very outdated to me, you know? And I do agree that whenever you're designing an app for a community, especially such an intentional community, a lot of thought has to be given to it, a lot of contextualization. But that's not to say that it doesn't happen, like we can't create it, right? Especially like people like me who really do see technology as a tool to facilitate or like, let's say, improve the quality of life as opposed to take away from the quality of life. Again, it's all about how you design the app. For me, it comes down to that. So I want to now enter the next topic of conversation is, you guys, about the Aura platform, right? So you know the most basic details. I wanted to just start off this conversation asking you, do you have any questions regarding how it would work, certain details? So think of this as a Q&A for now. Do you have any concerns, any thoughts, feedback?
I mean, like, from what I remember that what Aura was, maybe with app added stuff, but like, I was quite involved in it.
Yeah.
And I think I got a pretty clear idea and a rounded point of view about it.
Okay. How about you guys, Jasmine and Mir, do you guys have any questions regarding the mechanisms of the Aura or what it's trying to do? Any question? This is like a, yeah.
I had a question, because even though I was also quite involved before, and it was explained to me, but I don't know, I still don't fully understand, because I don't know if it's still like that, but there was going to be the auras, which you have like almost like a value for the things that you're exchanging and all.
Yeah.
And like, I didn't fully understand why we have to have that at all.
Okay, that's evaluation is a very interesting topic, guys. So what Jasmine is trying to understand is, why don't we just create a platform where people can just offer things without any evaluation or any numbers attached to it? And why isn't that a more efficient way to go, right? And I do realize that that is ultimately the destination that I hope this kind of project takes Oracle, right? That like we kind of take away from the need to value things and to give monetary value to things in general. But the beauty of valuation on the Aura platform is the following. So the Aura, like as a virtual complementary currency, is a standalone. So it has no real, it's not linked to the Indian rupee. So one Aura equals no, like we don't have that process, right? So what that really allows for is everyone has a subjective perception of reality. And de facto, we have a subjective perception of what we value, like, you know, or what we put value to. So 1 hour of like swimming for Jasmine may be much more important than for me 1 hour of swimming if we both offer the same services. She may offer it because she's put hours and hours into learning this, and also like she's so passionate about it, right? So when she's offering it, for example, as a service or as an activity, she could offer it for, let's say, 20 auras or 30 auras, as opposed to I could offer it for less. But what I like about the Aura platform is that you could value things according to your own perceptive reality without being scrutinized for it. And the reason why there's no scrutiny for that valuation is because everyone unconditionally gets these auras on a daily basis. So in a way, we're creating a much more playful, much more interactive platform where you can really understand that money is not something that's super scarce, and money is not something that, oh, why is it so expensive? Like, maybe when I see on the Aura platform that Jasmine's like offering is actually like 100 auras, I'm like, oh wow, it must be a really curated, very catered experience. Like, so it's not like this negative perception of like, oh, like Jasmine's such a ripoff. Like, why is she doing this to the community? Like, is she so much in need that she needs to charge 100 auras for one swimming lesson? So my point is, I hope that kind of answers what you're asking, Jasmine.
Yeah, for sure. So it's not even like, it's not even so much just to like it's to give value, but more like so that you know what you're getting into also. Like, yeah. I feel like if two people would be giving the same item, like say we both have a mixy that we want to give away, and if Ethan's pricing it really high with in terms of auras, then we yeah. might know that his is in a better condition, or like yeah. somehow. Yeah, it gives you more of an idea of what you're getting yourself into, I feel.
Okay. Exactly. So it's just, again, like we want to create a platform where money is not something that's a burden. Money is not something that's super scarce, right? And who knows, guys? I think for something like this to succeed, we need an elevated social consciousness to, first of all, accept that, because we've been so primed by society to see money in a certain way. Like, if you want a lot of money, it's like negative thing. If you're too greed-driven, you're too egoistic, you're too self-centered. And I really hope that with a platform like this, where money is being given out first and foremost to the people for, like, you know, without any conditions, how money can be reshaped. So it's like so much a social experiment as much as an economic experiment. So it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. And I want to just explain, Aiden and Jasmine, just in terms of how we progressed onto the project, in terms of refining certain concepts. So the mechanism is the same. So you get daily 10 auras, and then those auras depreciate over time so that you can't accumulate it. And certain, like 3 out of those 10 auras have to be shared with peers in the network. So those are all the same. But we've refined the concept, the app, to describing it as a social sharing network. So let's break down the key terms. So we have social, which is really trying to incorporate the really beautiful elements or features of social media that allow seamless connection. So because if you come to Oracle at a later point in time, even as a teenager, you don't have that entitlement to be like, oh, I can go talk to anyone and everyone, because you're an unfamiliar face. So if you have a social platform where you can like see, let's say somebody's offering something and you want to ask him or her certain questions about that offering, it's so much easier, as opposed to like in the physical realm, you feel a bit more nervous, you know? We can't go, I mean, like not everyone is so extroverted and so, courageous, so to speak, to go up to random people. So there's that social element. And also the social element could include certain things like You know, in Oroville, there's so many artists, like photographers, writers, and also just anyone who makes any form of artwork. But we don't have a platform to showcase that. You know, we don't have a platform where people can put that on. So hopefully the social elements can also be, in a certain extent, people can share that for the other community members to see. And then now let's get to the sharing part, which is creating an online marketplace, like let's say Craigslist, eBay, and allowing people to offer their services and their items, you know? And then these items will be circulated again on a local level with the use of this Aura currency. So we're like combining two things and creating a fusion for the Oroville community based on all the thoughts and analysis we did of the current issues that we're seeing in Oroville. So it's a social sharing network, guys. And the development is in process, and hopefully the basic version of the app will be released. Without the social elements, we're gonna focus more on the sharing online marketplace elements. And the Aura Market would be structured like this. So you log on, the first homepage would be Aura Market, and you have a toggle on top of the page, which is offering and needs. So when you're on the offering section, basically it's people that are like, okay, I wanna give my headphones, or I wanna give my clothes, or I wanna give any type of basically item, service, or space, let's say, because you know a lot of people have space. But when you go onto the needs toggle, it's basically a whole section where people are like, oh, I need a babysitter. Oh, I need a physiotherapist because my back pulled out. Or I need a help to fix my side.
I think this, it's getting like, I made the connection actually. Like our app is basically the section in the news and notes.
Yeah.
For the viewers who don't know the news and notes, it's like it's our paper. It's like available and looking for, like,
exactly.
That's the first thing I rush there. I see what's available. I see what people are looking for, and then I look at
the
Lost
only thing anybody
that's
ever
thing
reads.
That's
so
true.
Honestly,
so you like skip through all the announcement and all this So exactly. So think about it in a more digitalized way, where it's like, first of all, we can go so past these printed modes of like announcement and sharing newsletters, right? We can really digitalize this, and it is also good for the environment, which is a huge plus, yeah, in my opinion. And more so, newsletter notes, like that term or concept is so familiar to Orwellians. But for, let's say, newcomers, like they are not so, like some people don't think news and notes are so useful. So I think like to create a platform where it's so easily accessible for like the community members is also a huge advantage. So I want to ask you guys, so now that you kind of understand how this would work, is what do you think would be a major obstacle for this to be adopted widespread in Oroville as a community? Like what is the huge hurdles that we need to overcome for a technological solution like this to be, yeah, to be implemented and accepted in the community?
I think the mentality of the people using the app, I believe there'll be more needs and wants than offerings.
Mm-hmm. I want to just comment before, like Aiden, you and before Aiden and Jasmine share their views. I think that's one thing that I'm constantly thinking about right now. So the interesting thing about this platform or of this app is that the success of this app or the value of this network, social sharing network, is strictly dependent on how many people turn their good intention into actual real action offerings, right? And if you have like the ability to receive, especially unconditional auras that gives you access to certain offerings, what will encourage or incentivize you to offer in return? So this is where, like Mir said, it's about social consciousness and social awareness, because we really always do think of Oroville as a caring community, but then it is caring, but only in clusters. So I think what we see is you care naturally as human default setting for the people who you're closest to, who you know the longest, who you've conversed the longest, right? So if we have a platform like this, can we extend those clusters? Can we extend those clusters to be like, okay, now I can help and provide offerings to people that I've never talked to or met? So that's how I think what we're also trying to address with this. But okay, so Aiden, you wanted to say?
Yeah, obviously there will be these type of people who just get on the app and try to like use it for their most benefit. You always have someone who's a bit more immature than other. That's for sure. In Orville, I think like one thing that we need is just a more mature society in general, and not people who are selfish and driven by their egos or driven by like money in that sense. And another point would be, I think there should be a group in Oroville that slowly starts digitalizing everything, like the accounts, like bringing everything into technology, like because it is, like Mir said, it is efficient. If you break down to it, it's efficient, it's much more reliable and much more secure, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think those two things are very important. First, to digitalize everything, and second, to have a mature community.
Yeah, agreed. How about you, Jasmine? What are your thoughts?
It's the first time I thought about it, even though you exposed this idea to us a long time ago, is that because we were talking about in the beginning of this conversation how it's sometimes challenging for us youth, at least, to give back to the community, even though there's a strong feeling of wanting to do that. I feel like this, at least for me, this would be such a beautiful stepping stone and such an easy way to somehow feel more involved, because it is very intimidating to go to a general meeting with all these people around. Whereas this, you can just do a little thing. You can just put something onto the app and you feel somehow more included and involved in the community, which I think is like a major plus.
Exactly. So I really hope, guys, I'm really hoping that the younger generations of Oroville who have a less aversion to technology, or who are less scared that technology is going to, like the AI is going to take over the world, I hope that we can be, so to speak, the advocates and ambassadors for something like this, you know, because I think, keep in mind, I've talked to so many people in Oroville about this app and just like digital solutions being incorporated into the community. And they're like, no, we don't want to be surrounded by Wi-Fi. No, we don't want to touch mobile phone. And I completely acknowledge that. I'm not trying to discredit that, like, Wi-Fi and like technology also has certain potential health implications or mental implications. But again, it's about taking a tool like, you know, our phone, and understanding how can we use it not to be like this the whole time, but to basically use it for the shortest amount possible, to be in real life swimming together, or for me to teach math, or to sing together, whatever it may be. So that's hopefully what I'm trying to like achieve. But again, it's depending so much on social consciousness and social awareness, you know. So I hope that the younger generations can bring this forward. But let me just show you guys the login screen, like a peep.
I would say the problem is the boomers, you know what I mean? Fucking boomers. Because they're just like, oh, technology, no. But like, yo, guys, if we want to build a city, we're going to need some fucking technology, you know? Like,
yes.
We can't be using our fingers to calculate and shit like that. Like, come
exactly.
On, use the calculator on your phone.
Exactly. So guys, this is like the login screen of the Aura platform right now. So we're creating, like, that's like the login screen. So we're actually creating a full blown out mobile native app. And thank goodness I've had some help. I have actually a very good friend of mine who's working on the front end development. So I'll keep you guys updated about how that goes. And I really genuinely appreciated this conversation so much, guys. And what I really wanted to ask, which is a really interesting topic that we had to discuss within the Aura team, was, okay, so basically, you guys know that the Aura project is being held in collaboration with the Science Walden Center, which is a really like a very innovative and very progressive research center in Korea. So they tried their own currency, which is called FSM. And FSM, VC Standard Money, and Aura are basically two children from the same parent. Just think about it like that. They just look a bit different, but they have the same origin. What they did with FSM was they created an open door policy, which is that anyone in that region could just sign up and access it, right? And what happened was, despite what our initial assumptions were, there was not that much, that many users who joined the platform. And the second problem is, as Mir mentioned, we saw a lot of people taking without actually offering. So we saw this more one-sided interaction as opposed to two-sided. So the conversation that we came to on the Aura team was, okay, how do we target this app? So what are your personal opinions? Do you think it's better to create an open door policy where, let's say, just we don't have so much restrictions regarding authentication and verification of a user? Or should it be more exclusive or more targeted? Exclusive has a negative connotation. So let's say targeted towards the Oroville community members, including Oroville newcomers, long-term volunteers. And also, let's keep in mind, there is pools of community members that don't have official status in Oroville that do interact with Oroville on a daily basis and that do care about the Oroville, the vision of Oroville. So what do you think is the best way to go about this? Because this came to a very touchy topic for the team, because some members were of the belief that the more open, the more aligned with the overall vision of this project, which is like unconditional sharing, unconditional connection. But then also at the same time, what we've learned in the past is that this whole open door policy is not necessarily the most effective, because like I said, social awareness is going to like succeed, like ensure the success of this app, where like people who are really willing to like interact and willing to give to the community will ensure that this network is prosperous and collective. So what are your thoughts on this, guys? If given the option of more open door policy versus much more targeted, what is your gut feeling telling you? Sorry?
I would say open door.
Okay.
Also, just because I feel like we already have too much of this thing in Oroville of, oh, how long have you been here? Are you an Orovillian? Are you a newcomer? It's just, there's these so many labels flying around all the time. So I think the more inclusive, the better, just to break down those things that are so prominent.
Yeah, I agree. How about you, Mir?
Yeah, I would say open door. I was thinking more of like a rating system. Like if you're more like Uber, you know how works.
Yeah.
The better driver you are, the more caring, the more giving, the nicer driver you are, the better they'll rate you as a driver. And vice versa, the driver can also rate the customer and say, oh, he's very rude, etc.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the more someone gives, it can target more people, if that makes sense.
Okay. That's definitely one way to do it, Mir. Like, thank you for that feedback. It's something we've actually been giving thought to in terms of creating a review system. I think just because like technically it's like hard to implement because there are so many details into giving reviews for like each product or each person, we're going to think about incorporating that in the long term. But I do agree with you that it has certain advantages. How about you, Aiden? What are your thoughts on this?
My thought would be like, you need an account to use the app, correct?
You need to sign up. Yeah. So conversation. Okay. Exactly. So the conversation
For this sign up, what would be important for the sign up would be like, you can only enter if you have your name with orville.org.in thing. You know, your email is that. So I think that's the end thing.
So that's again where like there was a lot of debate within the team, because okay, I want to like dissect this topic a bit more. The reason why we wanted to the reason why we wanted to introduce some security measures is because you guys, when you're putting up an app on the App Store, on the Google Play Store, anyone can download this app. So it's not, you can't say to Google Play Store, only for Oroville residents only. It doesn't work like that. So there needs to be first and foremost certain security measures. And that's like, and it has nothing to do about being exclusive or being divisive. It's really just more for security reasons. And similarly, even in Oroville, imagine like some tourists are coming in, they're just there for one day and they hear about this app, which is amazing because it gives them direct access to the community, right? Because there are so many offerings from hopefully from community members. But and then they leave the next day, right? You know what I mean? So then that again creates this kind of like taking culture as opposed to more giving culture. Mm-hmm. So again, it's such a complex topic, because I agree wholeheartedly with Jasmine and Mir that we want to be as inclusive as possible. But at this stage in the project, I do fundamentally believe that we have to create a nucleus of like really active community members, right? And then expand. Exactly, because
at the beginning, like you have a core and like you test it out, like how it works. And then what I would say, one of my solutions would be like, you have in the office, in town hall, you go and you get your like username and a password to enter.
Yeah.
You're going for 1 day or 2 days, and they set the activation like a kind of a gift card system, just like your account system for that.
Yeah.
And if you're a newcomer, if you're a volunteer for a year, you get that too. You know what I mean? Like, you just say for how long. Maybe if you're a volunteer, you show some proof, like, okay, this is my card that they're saying I'm working here, something like that.
Exactly. Yeah. I think, again, getting back to the idea of like FSM Network, why it didn't do so well as we hope was, I think they didn't focus on creating a core active user base first. Because if you, like, first impressions matter, guys. When you go onto an app and you see, like, people are mostly taking and not really offering, and you don't see an app filled with the diversity and abundance of different offerings, you're going to be like, oh, you're just going to nitpick what you can take and you can leave, right? As opposed to if you see such a diversity of offerings ranging from tangible to intangible goods and items, you're going to be like, oh, wow, like, this is cool. You think about more creatively, how can I contribute to this collective pot? So hopefully... And this is like such a touchy subject. As you guys know, right now we have the Black Lives Matter movement, which is the biggest civil rights movement in modern history. And Black Lives Matter, if we zoom out of the picture, is really tackling one major issue, is inequality in any forms of society, right? And that's why for me, this entire year is going to be for the entire world, like, okay, what forms of inequality were we oblivious to and that we did not address? Right? And of course, there is inequality in Oroville. Like Jasmine said, like, the longer you are part of the community, you feel like you have a certain hierarchy because you're like, I was born here. Who are you to say XYZ, you know? But we want to break down those forms of invisible walls because, believe it or not, the longer you live in a country, the more oblivious you become to these things because it's so easy for you to integrate in that community, whereas for other people, it may not be. So I really am glad that we're all on the same page here, guys, that we do ultimately want to open this app up and like expand it like layer by layer. But I'm hoping that the first core users will be the Oroville community who can really inspire, like, not only just Oroville, but the other communities around the world that this is possible, that we take technology and we take modern economics or alternative economics to create a new innovative way of sharing and caring for each other on a collective level. So yeah. But guys, I have one last question and we will conclude this wonderful talk. Before I say that, I always end every episode just expressing my gratitude. Like, I'm so genuinely glad that last year, working more in Oroville and less like, it wasn't a visitation for me. It wasn't like just to go see my family. It was very research focused and it was really with the intention of learning more from the community and giving back. And through that process, I was able to meet you guys, funny enough, serendipitously. And I'm so glad that I got to interact with younger members because I didn't really do that. I always stuck to older people or people my age in Oroville. And it's like, you guys are really like an inspiration to me that like Oroville is in really good hands and that at the rate that we're going, if we continue to have these conversations, even amongst each other, I think ultimately Oroville will become a community and a society that can inspire other parts of the world. Because that's what Oroville stands for, right? It's not to be this exclusive society that's like, oh, don't come in. It's more so to be inspirational to all forms of society around the world to be like, guys, we have this vision and we're not perfect. It's going to be a constant work in progress, but we've made so progress so far. So I really want to thank each and every one of you, Aiden, Mir, and Jasmine, for taking the time, like a couple hours of your day to talk to me about this because I really appreciated all your inputs. So with that in mind,
I also want to say thank you because I think staying here, I think it's good to have these kind of conversations and like an external input, even though because you know Oroville so well and all, but yeah. Like, yeah, we forget sometimes. So
exactly. Thank you guys so much. So the last conversation, like last question that I wanted to address to you guys is, so when you're working to create or achieve a vision or manifest a really idealistic vision into reality, the first question that you ask is what kind of world you want to be a part of? What kind of a society do you want to be a part of? And how do you want to improve your society? So I wanted to ask you guys that very broad question of like in your mind, in your soul, when you think of this question, like what type of world do you want to be a part of? And even zoom in a little bit to, let's say, the context of Oroville, what type of community do you want to be a part of? And so that's just a very broad question for you guys.
Out of the top of my, just coming out of my mouth, what comes to mind would be like, for people to really, for people first to be more aware and to be more conscious about the effect that they have sustainably and just like in general, like how do you affect your surroundings? And second, to have a very holistic point of view on everything. I think that's something very important to see the to see all the degrees, you know, like to see from all directions. I think through that, you can gain a lot of maturity and you can really change your surrounding. And especially when everyone does that, then such a rich environment grows and it's just very like, very, I can't find the good word for it, but like very attractive for me, you know, like it's something that I really wish that could happen. It's like a dream.
Yes, and you know, exactly what you said, Aiden, will ultimately lead to a higher form of consciousness, because when you really understand the impact of your own actions, your own words, and even on a more spiritual level, your own energy field and your own intentions and aura, yes. You realize that like we're somehow in this together, and together we can come to a better society. So yeah. How about you, Jasmine? Any thoughts you'd like to share?
I feel like the main key things would be just exposure and perspective and care. Yeah, because I think it's so easy in this day and age to point fingers saying that this person is acting in a certain way or has certain tendencies in a negative connotation. But it just comes down to exposure and perspective and to, that everybody's open enough and so that we can live in a more caring society with more, just sharing. And
yeah, thank you for sharing, Jasmine. How about you, Mir?
Going on one of Eden's points, having to being able to take a step back and look at the whole picture, I really believe in like yin and yang, opposing forces, and opposing energies. And for example, like us youth, we're able to, we grow up, we go outside, we experience that life, and then we can look back upon our childhood in Oroville and really appreciate it. And at least me, I really think I'm gonna appreciate Oroville more, come back, and give more to the community.
Yes, and this is exactly what I've been experiencing in my more early adulthood days, because the past couple of years, guys, I've been in Oroville so many times. I mean, it's been a bit tiring for me personally to travel so much back and forth from Europe and to Oroville, but having this constant exposure, because it wasn't like I went back and forth like 4 or 5 times last year, which is crazy. And having that kind of constant juxtaposition of like, you know, like Mir said, yin and yang, it really, how do you say, reinforced and reaffirmed in me the reason why I value and love Oroville so much. And even talking to you guys, it's like a constant reaffirmation, like, wow, we are so open-minded and we're so embracing towards things that are not necessarily unknown. You know, for example, in Europe, when I've been living and I have conversations with my dear friends and they're all just such intelligent, kind people, I think growing up in a place like Oroville, what makes us so special is that we don't turn away, like, turn our cheek to things that doesn't make sense to us at first glance. We question more, we embrace more. And I think that's like the biggest gift personally that Oroville has given me so far. And I can see that already with this one conversation, talking to each and every one of you. You guys don't like necessarily resort directly to prejudice or judgment and like opinion, but more so you're like always inclined to question more and understand and embrace other viewpoints. And this is what I think truly makes Oroville youth so versatile and so the best form of like youth in the world. So like, honestly, guys, you guys are really great. Thank you so much for this conversation. And I think what we could do is once the app is out more and has more structure, we can have like a more, feedback session. So we could like, I could share my screen with you guys. and you guys can be like, oh, what is that? Like, oh, that doesn't make sense, or oh, that's a good feature. So let's have that, and I'll reach out to you guys in a couple months' time, and we can have that second round of Aura Talks. So for all the audience members who are watching this now, thank you for joining us, and thank you for showing your interest and supporting us, even from most remote areas. And I hope Jasmine, Mir, and Aiden, once I give you guys a link to the upload, you can share it with your parents, and they can hopefully share it with their friends, because these conversations, I really hope, whether it be the Pioneer group or like the other groups in Oroville, can see that Oroville youth really, they do care. And we do have a lot of thoughts and reflection. So maybe it's like they're not exposed to it because they're not chilling in Kailash and seeing what the conversations are going on. They don't know what the conversations are in school. So I really hope that this will be, so to speak, a smile-inducing for them to see, oh, wow, these guys are very multifaceted and have profound thoughts. So, yeah. On that note, guys, thank you so much.
I would like to say two things.
Yes, yes.
First, I would like to say, like, I really like the space that is being created with this, because, like, many on my daily life, like with Mir and Jasmine, like, I don't really have space for these conversations. Don't have space to, like, come in, and, like, we don't have space, like, to express how we feel about Oroville and stuff. It's very, like, I would say shallow conversations, like, oh, how do you sleep? Like, oh, let's do this, let's do that. Like, let's play a video game, or I don't know what I, you know, like, let's go pop some parash. So I really like the space. And second, I want to say something to you, Dambi. Like, I really admire, like this giving back that you give to Arva. Like, you're very, like, inspiring to me, like a person, like, who went out, who did their shit, like, and you have your shit together. Maybe you don't, but from the outside perspective, you're very, like, it's very, like, wow, like,
Thank you.
I want to be something like her, you know, like, I want to have that energy, I want to have that, like, motivation, that, like, pushing, you know, through. Beautiful person, so much.
Yeah.
Did I get cut?
The last bit I heard is you're a beautiful person. I was like, oh no, honestly, thank you guys so much. And like, you really inspired me so much. You guys have no idea. I'm going to really conclude this entire conversation by saying the conversation we had, shout out Roundtable Talks, really gave me so much energy to continue my work, to really engage more in the community, because like, honestly, like, you guys, we are the future. And I know that sounds like such a Orwellian pioneer thing to say, like, you are the future. But we are. And when we see, getting back to what Aiden said earlier, like, how much impact we have, you know, even through just conversations, I think we realize that we have the strength, the talent, the thought, and the consciousness to bring on the change that we want to see in this world and also in our community. So, yeah. Honestly, do you guys, this, I think hands down my favorite Aura Talks episode, because so honestly, thank you guys so much. And we'll definitely touch base again. And I really hope that, guys, I'll see you face to face in Oroville when I come, hopefully for the launch. And during that point, I'll bring you guys lots of goods from Europe. So if there's anything you need from this side of the world, let me know also. So we conclude every episode by saying ciao for now. So which language should we do the countdown? Because I've done Tamil, I've done German, English. What language? Spanish. Like, do you want to do 3, 2, 1 in Spanish? Aiden, and
I'll then we'll
sorry?
I'll do it in my mother tongue, Catalan.
Yes, let's do it. Okay, so 3, 2, 1, and then we'll say ciao for now.
Okay. 1, 2, 3. Ciao for now.
Aura, the value we create together.